Blog Talk Radio.
Wandering around, wondering why I hit the glass with so much speed. What was I doing that I didn't see the glass? I was moving way too fast. I was moving way too fast. Felt like I was standing still. So I tried to gain some speed with my mind and with my will. Wanting to feel something moving in me, moving like the fishes in the sea. Rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the real vibration. Sweet liberation.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Enlighten Up Radio. This is Lisa Sahakian coming to you live from sunny Southern California. Welcome to Enlighten Up Radio. If you're listening for the first time, my name is Lisa Sahakian, and what do we do here? We gather every Monday morning. We share provocative prose, witty wisdom, and lovely laughter to get your Monday, to get your week, to get your days off to the good foot, off to a good start, and not just on Monday mornings. This is, in essence, a virtual spiritual practice that I'm supporting you with every Monday morning, showing you, guiding you, bringing people, individuals, souls, ideas, opportunities of new thought into your world, new thought into your life, new ways of being, ways that we can up-level our experience. Let me tell you, there is a sense of chaos that's constantly happening in the universe. Quote, chaos. We call it chaos because it feels highly chaotic, feels highly chaotic. What happens in the midst of this chaos is a divine plan. And if we can be still enough, if we've done our work enough, if we know how to listen deeply enough, if we've done our work and learned our lessons and evolved enough, we no longer make the same mistakes. We make them quicker, or we learn from them quicker, or we just avoid them altogether. So at Enlighten Up Radio, I bring all of you information, tools of transformation, individuals to help you enlighten up on your life or in life in general. And, you know, what we do here, we're about changing things. We're about being in action. We're about really taking our life to the next level. I am living, working, authentic, transparent example of what is going on the planet. I'm living it with all of you all the same. I'm building my own new world. I'm building my entire new platform. And I'm creating new ways and relationships and communication that just simply feel better for me. And I'll tell you, it's not that easy. It can be. Some days it's just highly, highly graceful. And some days we get thrown a curveball or two. We don't expect certain things to happen. And that is the divine, I feel, I know, that is the divine intervention of the universe. I thought that my last, just a current situation of mine was going to just kind of be a place where I can exhale momentarily, very candidly, transparently speaking, that I could exhale for a little while. It felt that way. It seemed that way. And I'll tell you, when spirit does not, when the universe, God, what my soul, when my soul does not want me to play little anymore, all these things happen where I get to pull myself up out of that small place, the place where I can't, I think I can't, that word can't, or the place where I just feel disempowered, where I've given my power away, where I feel I have to acquiesce, where I feel like just because someone is helping me, I have to be less than. Again, just because someone is helping me, I have to be less than. And that's not, you know, that's not just in the helping situation dynamic. A lot of times we dummy ourselves down when we care about someone, when we are feeling vulnerable, when we feel like we're at the effect, when we're maybe in the midst of our chaos. Sometimes we make choices that can be that are a little out of alignment. We acquiesce a little bit too much, you know. So the universe is so amazing. When we step out into that big, bold space, doing anything less is just impossible, in essence. So what I'm saying is that as you're moving forward, as you're building your new world, as you're creating your new environment, be mindful of the changes, of the crossroads, of the people, of the opportunity, of the lovely people in your life that support you, taking notice of who's showing up in your life, really feeling good about that, embracing them, creating community, being present to your life, knowing what's happening, being present to your life on a daily basis in community. And I say in community in particular because today we've got a guest on the show, an amazing guest on the show, who is part of a very intentional community. And I have been personally moving about the planet, if you will, enlightened listeners. I have been moving about the planet looking to create my own intentional community, looking, seeking for individuals who really resonate with me, who I resonate with them, people where I can really create a foundation in consciousness, in soul awareness, and basically, yes, all of these deep things, but at the same time, I am, as we all are, we're all seeking community where it just feels good to exhale. It feels good to exhale, because that's what home is. Home is where you rest your head. Intentional communities are not something new. We've been doing this for a long time. In fact, I think we're coming full circle. Intentional communities is how we lived before. We all relied on each other. We all worked with each other. In the dawn of civilization, you know, we all bartered with each other. You had chickens. You had eggs. You had milk. You have corn, and everyone worked together and shared with one another. Well, it's becoming to that point where the world is creating an energetic experiences, feelings, whether they're real or not, however you choose to subscribe to them. The world is pushing us, pulling us, making us be intentional in our community, communicate with one another, be there for one another, learn to live better with one another. And it is such a great pleasure to be a part of this Building a New World community. I'm so grateful to be a proud co-sponsor in Lighten Up Radio of the Building the New World conference taking place May 28th through the 31st. I'm so grateful. I really encourage all of you to go to BTNW, buildingthenewworld.org. Go there, check it out, see what we're up to. If you cannot physically make it, and I really encourage you to definitely attend, I do believe we're going to have live streaming as well. So it is really without any further delay that I'm so grateful to bring on our next guest, one of the speakers, Betsy Poole. Betsy is the founder of the Institute for the Mythology of Humanity, facilitating the emergence of the new mythology representing global consciousness. And prior to founding the Institute, Betsy was the director of integrated media strategy of the Federation of Damon Herr. I'm going to say that one more time. Damon Herr is a collective consciousness community that's happening in Italy. You want to Google that. You want to check out what Damon Herr has going on. It is magnificent. I know you've never seen anything like that before. When I was first shown a picture of Damon Herr, just the way the walls are made, you can tell there is pure intention and love in that community from the foundation, from the structural foundation up. It's amazing. And Betsy has absolutely had an experience. She's been building this new world at Damon Herr and also so many other wonderful things. She's also the co-founder of Devodama Shri, I believe it's pronounced, the media division of the Federation, and acted as lead producer on the worldwide rollout strategy for Music of the Plants, a multi-platform interactive experience featuring the conscious intelligence of the plant world, which is just really fantastic. So I'm so grateful to bring Betsy on. Betsy has been a wonderful sister, and just in this moment, she just embodies the possibility of learning to live with each other. There was a mix-up in the timing of the show, just to be candid, and we got the dates mixed up together, and yet we were able to work through it. You know, we remained present. We remained in the solution. We moved forward. She's living in Italy. So, you know, quote, chaos can happen, but it's how we are in our foundation and the community that we create in consciousness that allows us to live a more graceful existence. And I am so grateful to bring Betsy on. Betsy, welcome to Enlighten Up Radio. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Lisa, thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure, and that was quite a spectacular introduction. So
well,
I'm speaking to you, to be candid, from a car. So I hope that our contact is good, and you know, let's see where we go.
This is wonderful. Yeah, thank you so much for your flexibility and availability. I really appreciate it. And so here's what I want to ask you, because this is such rich information. As I am personally nomadically looking for my tribe, my intentional tribe in Los Angeles, and I've been traveling all around the world, and I'm back in L.A., but I'm not quite sure if L.A. is where I'm supposed to find my foundation. So I have a little bit of knowledge about you, and I'm wondering, so you're a woman with a family. How does an American mainstream family from Los Angeles, California, end up living in Italy in a spiritual eco-community like Dame and Her? Can you tell our listeners how that happened?
Well, this is actually a journey that began for us in 2003. And you had shared with me your loss of your nephew, I believe. And it's the
cousin,
same
yeah.
thing
cousin.
Essentially happened to me, your cousin. My mother died in 2003 when my daughter was not quite 2 years old. And for me, it was as if a profound torch was passed. And I began to have the sort of intuition that my family and I were supposed to move to Italy for absolutely no apparent reason. You know, we've holidayed in Italy. We had a few friends in Italy. But there was the overwhelming message that we were supposed to move to Italy. At the time, we lived in Los Angeles. We had, quite a wonderful life, big house, swimming pool. Our daughter was in a wonderful Waldorf school. We had a wonderful community there. But this was mm-hmm. persistent, this idea that we were meant to move to Italy. And as a result, I started this journey to look for a house in Italy, having no idea where we would land or what would happen. And that continued for almost 4 years. And we began to live in Italy in the summers every other year for 3 months every other year, and eventually decided to move to a completely different part of the country. And as we were doing that, I was thinking, well, this is really strange. This can't be what this message was about. They're lovely people here, but I have a much more conscious community back in Los Angeles. I don't understand, why this is what we're supposed to do. And mm-hmm. shortly after that, we had come back to Los Angeles after 3 months in this other part of Italy where we were planning to move. And my best friend, my daughter's best friend's mother, came to school one day, and she was having a thyroid problem. Her thyroid was inflamed, and she had gone to have it biopsied. And they couldn't do the biopsy that day. And she was quite frightened about it, and she had come to school in tears. And I had the very strong intuition that there was something non-physical about this illness that she was meant to discover before she actually had any kind of invasive procedure. And synchronistically that day, I got a message from a mailing list that I'm on, a fellow called Roy Gibbons, who always has interesting events that he informs us about, that there was a medical intuitive who was doing a session in 4 days. And I forwarded it to my friend, and I said, Robin, I think maybe we should go to this. And she asked me to come with her. I did. With this medical intuitive, he goes through a process of connecting to your disincarnate guides. So entities or guides that are with you that you may not even be aware of. And as he was connecting to these disincarnate guides for me, they asked me to make a list of the things I still wanted to do in my life. And when I started to make that list, it was pretty entirely esoteric. One of the first questions I had was about understanding how time works. I've had anomalous time occurrences in my life, and I wanted to really understand the physical nature of time. How does it really work? One of the second things that I wanted to understand, I had the sense that we're living in a time where archetypes are in transition, and also a sense that we are, as humanity, potentially missing archetypes. So, ironically,
Let's pause just for 1 second, Betsy, because that's really powerful.
Sure.
What you just said right here. So, what's so interesting is, archetypes, fables, the Bible, all of these things that we turn to that are maybe seem more traditional, more conservative, that are traditional, that are more conservative, they have placeholders in society. But those placeholders, enlightened listeners, the placeholders are evolving. They're transcending. They're expanding. So what we do is we use what's working and we expand upon it and make it better, which is what we're doing with intentional communities. Please carry on, Betsy.
Sure. So this, my list that I made, were all subjects that, when I eventually knew Dominor, are all subjects that are deep areas of research in our community. As I went through my list with this intuitive healer, he said to me, there's a place in Italy. They have an underground temple, and I think they do a lot of time research there. So you would think that bells would go off in my head when he said Italy, but they didn't, because sometimes we're slow. And
yeah.
It was about 2 weeks later. 2 weeks later, I'm putting my daughter to bed, and it was as if someone shouted in my ear, "Go Google underground temple time research," which I did, and I found a 4-page article in Enlightenment magazine. I believe it was an Australian publication, and it didn't even mention the word Dominor until the very last line of the article. The article was titled "Atlantis in the Foothills of the Alps," and it spoke about a utopian society that was so compelling. And by the time I saw the name Dominor, I spent the next 3 days online researching everything I could find out about the community. And at that point, we're speaking now about 2008, there was not a lot online about the community. And our then 6-year-old daughter said to her father, my husband, Papa, I think we should go check this place out right away. Because sometimes things you see online are not so good when you get there in person. And I really don't want Mama to be disappointed. So, out of the mouth of our genius children. And in fact, she and I got on a plane 4 days later and came to visit Dominor for the first time.
Well, let's
and when
bear
I arrived
with you.
Here,
we've got about 12 minutes on the show. I would like you to start segueing into, if you could be so kind, because I really want people to hear about what the community is all about. Definitely your experience in getting there, but if we could start talking about what happens at Dominor, that would be great.
Absolutely. So Dominor is at its heart a research community, and it's a research community into the sustainability of humanity. So we are what Barbara Marx Hubbard would call a full spectrum community, where we touch every element of an 11 or 12 point full spectrum community. So this is everything from spirituality to sustainable agriculture, media, justice. There's a whole span of subjects that we cover. So Dominor, apparently, what I'm told, one of the only full spectrum communities in the world. On a practical level, what does that mean? I live in a house communally with 20 other adults and 3 teenagers. These are not people that I was close to before I moved in with them. We share ideals, but we didn't share a common language, a common culture. Really, this is a group of people who are committed to finding a way of living together. We speak about this idea of collectivity as being one of the best means for spiritual development. When you're living with a group of people that you've not initially chosen those people, you find yourself in both positive and negative ways mirrored every single moment of the day.
Amen.
And we, you know, we speak about this as it's as if you have a group of stones in a river, and the stones are very rough when you put them in the river. They're sharp. But as they bump up against one another, the edges start to smooth. So this is part of what living collectively allows to happen. And that's a profound spiritual path.
Well, it's humbling. It's humbling and it's softening. I have been moving around and experiencing different things in different parts of the world since about 2008. And what I find is within each individual community, certainly what's not working is there is not a foundation where we can begin from. Foundation, really, the intention, I should say, everyone's got to be on the same page for it to work together, to live together. But more than anything, even if it doesn't work out, even if it's just a very highly polarized situation, it softens me. It humbles me. It teaches me how to be a better person in the world. It teaches me the mirrors of who I am and how they're showing up all around me, Betsy. It is amazing living with people, but it is honestly one of the hardest things I've done today is learning to live with other people. Because I am an individual. A lot of our listeners like living alone. But we need community because a lot of us are seekers. A lot of us are global visionaries. And we do require community. So if you were to give the listeners an idea of how to take an action step that will begin bridging the gap between isolation, individuality, and embracing community while allowing yourself to have your own isolated time, your own individuality, how do you bring that into an intentional community where it works for everybody, you know?
What I would say to you is that what we have to do is look at our habits, look at our everyday habits, because the things that are challenged when you live with other people are those everyday habits. And it's in the changing, in the shifting of those habits, whether it's, you know, coming down and always having your yogurt out of the refrigerator every morning. You know, living in community, when you come down, it's likely that your yogurt's not going to be there any longer because one of the other 20 people was hungry and ate it. So your ability to take that in and be gracious in the context, is a growth step. And when you're confronted with your habits on a daily, sometimes hourly basis, you really begin to change. And you know, at the heart of any community is this commitment to change. We're not going to shift to a new paradigm as humanity if each and every one of us isn't willing to change. It's fundamental in the work that we're doing.
And so when you're living in a space, I love what you just said. When you're living in a space and you're doing the changing and evolving and it feels really great, and you have, let's say, a tendency of codependency, present company included. Well, and, you know, I wonder how many codependents actually choose to intentionally live in community. You know, I don't know. This is a very interesting topic, but that for another time. But
In fact, relationships tend to be really challenged in community, because when you're in the situation where you're in a one-on-one relationship outside of community, there's a dependence. When you're in community, you've got 19 other people you can depend on. So it challenges relationships, and relationships either grow or they dissolve. And you know, both of those are valid paths. I'm quite fortunate in that I came into community in a 30-year relationship, and we're doing okay. But it is challenging for those kind of one-on-one relationships. We're working on a new paradigm. We're working on a paradigm of a group soul, where you know, we sort of hold as the Holy Grail this couple relationship. And in community, we're working with a different archetype, and we're working with the archetype of a group soul, and really being willing and able to put the group ahead of your individual or even your individual family needs. Ultimately, it's the good of the group, your small nucleo family, that has to become the priority. And that's an enormous change that we go through.
Well, you know, yeah, so I'm just intuitively, I want to ask questions from the place I'm at, and I'm realizing my how questions, I'm realizing that it's probably just it takes work, but that something switches over and the good of the collective no longer feels like a choice. It's just kind of a let go and it's like a surrender, I would assume.
It's a choice. You know, you really come to a point where you make that choice. And it changes everything. It changes your view on the world. You know, and I think above everything, what we're working for is a sustainable way of living on this planet. And, you know, this is, you know, particularly in intentional or eco communities, this is very much a part of that path.
It's powerful. Just a powerful time to be on the planet. So tell me, with the last 3 minutes, do you all have daily or weekly rituals that you do together as a community?
Yes, Dominor is in fact a community that has as one of its cores the school of meditation. And this is not meditation as we usually think about it, but really meta-action. So we're always working on specific projects, missions together that are, again, working to increase sustainability, whether that's on a spiritual level, an agricultural level, an energy level. So yes, we are a community. I often say we're a thergic community. Thergic meaning ritual done in one dimension to also invite and affect change from another dimension. And that is very much part of our daily life in Dominor.
I have chills all over my body as you say that. What a blessing it is to know that you and your community, this community, is alive and well on this planet. Thank you. And please extend my gratitude on behalf of, you know, Lisa Sahakian here out here in L.A., please, honestly, next time you gather, this is amazing what's happening in your community. You guys are doing things for the planet, not just yourselves, and you're creating a way of living and showing other people how to build a new world with intention, with collective energy, with collective consciousness. It is absolutely amazing. And so in closing, is there something that you would like to share with our Enlighten Up Global listeners about yourself or anything?
Just in brief, I would say to keep an eye out. We're working right now through a new institute that we've founded called the Institute for the Mythology of Humanity, where we're really working to pull all of our individual mythologies and cultural and national stories into a story that's a global mythology that will represent global consciousness. So this is work that we're engaged in now, and you'll begin to see from us products, but also communications coming out on a global level. Look for something called... Exactly. It's showing people how, giving them an example, and also really telling them a story. You know, humanity is so much bigger and has so much more potential than we give ourselves credit for. And the work that we're doing is helping to bring that piece of illumination to others on the planet.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Betsy, I look so forward to meeting you in person and hearing what you're all about at the Building the New World Conference, taking place May 28th through the 31st, Radford, Virginia. Building the New World. Betsy, you have a blessed day. And again, thank you for everything you're doing on the planet.
Thank you so much, Lisa. And thank you so much for your show and for inviting us on to speak about our work.
Yes, thank you.
We'll see you in Virginia.
Blessings. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. As we say in Dominor, Conte, with you.
With you. Peace be with you. Chills
with
all
you.
Over. What a blessing. We'll talk soon.
Okay, sweetie.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. So, Enlighten Up listeners, thank you once again for listening to Enlighten Up Radio. I am so grateful. I am just elated. You know, the timing of life, I've just reached a turning point in my living, in how I choose to live, and it's just amazing that Betsy's been on the show today. So we want to thank Building the New World for being the proud co-sponsor of Enlighten Up Radio. And Enlighten Up Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Building the New World. We want to thank Betsy for taking the time from Italy in the middle of her day while picking up her daughter and doing a radio show from her car. We remain in solution, and we remain in action, and we do it with grace and ease. And we want to continue to build community. We're choosing, we're sharing, we're showing ideas and opportunities in how to live this way, how to start the day with a smile on your face. So I am so grateful every Monday morning to join you. I want to thank our global listeners from the bottom of my heart. I can feel your love. I can feel your shifting. I know things are getting better. I know that things are getting brighter. I know that everything is better and brighter. May the long time sun shine upon you. May all love surround you. And may the pure light within you guide your way on. This is Lisa Sahakian. Love, joy, peace to all souls.
Wandering around, wondering why I hit the glass with so much speed. What was I doing that I didn't see the glass? I was moving way too fast. I was moving way too fast. Felt like I was standing still. So I tried to gain some speed with my mind and with my will, wanting to feel something moving in me, moving like the fishes in the sea, rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the real vibration, sweet liberation, rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the one,
one with the one.
Working it out, she's wondering why. She married in such haste, there was no way to know that her dream of love was sweeter than the truth that came to pass. And the dream is still a dream, especially when you're moving fast. She was moving way too fast, felt like she was moving slow. So she tried to gain some speed with her mind, and off she goes, wanting to feel something deeper within. Seems like a power in the wind, rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the real vibration, sweet liberation, rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the one. Of what we need, real satisfaction comes in who we came to be, like the air and sun and the earth we walk upon. Love is freely given, and life becomes a worth living when you're one with the one, with the one, one with the one, with the one. Watching the world and wondering why we live our lives with so much speed. What are we doing if we don't learn from the past? Are we moving way too fast? Are we moving way too fast, but really standing still, just trying to gain some speed with our mind and with our will, wanting to feel something greater inside, great like the river in the